Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
4 championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, and we have another champion in the Bay Area. Yes, you might have noticed that I used our original intro, 4 champions in the last 5 years. Well, this is a special MMA UFC 223 championship podcast to celebrate Khabib Nurmagomedov for becoming the 4th champion out of American Kickboxing Academy right here in San Jose, California. So, of course, we had to do a whole UFC 223 aftermath show. We've covered GSP's return to 217. We covered both the Diaz versus McGregor fights. We've covered a bunch of UFC fights thrown in here and there, but this is a full podcast to discuss everything that went down during a crazy UFC 223 fight week, from Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, from Khabib versus Max Holloway, Khabib's bus versus Conor McGregor. We've got all the chaos that went down this weekend. We'll talk about the fights, the repercussions, the future matchups. We're going to discuss it all right here on the Bay's Golden Days. Once again, shout out Khabib Nurmagomedov holding it down for AKA San Jose, the Bay Area. The man is from Russia, but he flies into San Jose to rep for the Bay. So let's go ahead and count down this path towards the championship. You know what time it is. It's Khabib time.
What time is it, Dana? Please tell this guy.
Five win streak. Let's go.
This guy's gonna get his first loss.
Can't wait to shut your face with my hand. I'm gonna knock you out.
It's Tony time.
Nobody talk about Tony time. They all talk about Khabib time.
Just when you thought it was time for Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson, the longest awaited fight, it seems, in MMA history. How long must I wait? They have already scheduled this fight 4 times now, and it has been canceled 4 times. Yes, you heard me correctly. They scheduled this for an Ultimate Fighter finale. They scheduled this for a co-main event. They offered it for a main event. They did pay-per-view. Now they did it for the title, and they still could not fight. Yes, this fight has been booked 4 times. Khabib has pulled out twice, and now Tony Ferguson has also pulled out twice. And man, oh man, was this some crazy ass news. And of all days for it to be delivered, it was April 1st. I wake up to a notification, Tony Ferguson out, tears his LCL. And my first thought is, you gotta be fucking kidding me. How long must I wait for this goddamn fight? It's been scheduled so many times. It's 2 of the best 155ers on the planet. And no way, this cannot happen again. It's already fight week. Tony Ferguson's doing nothing but media now. How did he get hurt? Well, he got hurt doing media. Yes, the reports are that he was on the Fox lots. He turned, saw somebody he knew, tripped over a wire, and tears his LCL damn near off the bone. Does have to get knee surgery. And man, oh man, how the hell does this keep happening? Is this fight cursed? 4 times they schedule it. Dana White has come out and said, there's no way in hell I'ma schedule it for a 5th time. And it wasn't until Dana told me from the horse's mouth himself that this fight was off that I finally believed it, because with all the April 1st rumors, no one knew what to believe. Ariel Helwani on Twitter was telling people he would never do an April Fool's joke. This was the worst possible timing ever. I thought it was the worst joke ever, but no, Uncle Dana White came up and had to explain the full situation.
Unfortunately, this is not an April Fool's. Tony is out. He hurt his knee. Tony Ferguson is injured. But the beautiful thing about this sport, the stud 145-pound champion Max Holloway is going to step up and face Khabib this Saturday in Brooklyn, New York. And it is for the official 155-pound title.
And there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. Just like I said, Dana White comes out and has to put his foot down saying, no, this is not an April Fool's joke, but I got a great surprise for you. We go from Tony El Kikui to the Blessed Era, baby. Max Holloway steps in. And so instantly with the news of Tony Ferguson, I swear this is a roller coaster of emotion rides. You start off saying, oh my God, we're finally going to get the fight. And then, oh my God, the fight is off once again for the fourth time. And then what happens? Max Holloway steps in on 6-day notice. Yes, Max Blessed Holloway, the man who's on a 12-fight win streak. We saw Tony's 10-fight win streak versus Habib's 25 win streak, and we upgraded it to get a possibly better matchup. I mean, Max Holloway, standing-wise, striking-wise, I think he does have the advantage over Tony Ferguson. I think they're very similar fighters, in fact. It just two different weight classes, but I've always compared the two back and forth over the years. But the difference is Tony has that insane conditioning. You're not going to get that same conditioning from Max Holloway, only getting 6 days to prepare, especially when Max Holloway just less than a month ago had to pull out a fight against Frankie Edgar when Brian Ortega came to fill in for him. So we got a champion who came off of surgery, who is stepping up to fight another champion. We get a champion versus champion matchup, and Max Blessed Holloway got a chance to become the second ever double champ at the same time. Yes, Conor McGregor is the only person to ever held two belts consecutively, and we're getting into Conor McGregor. Let me get into that, but let me break down what this would have meant to Max Holloway, because we all know the outcome of him calling out and not making weight, because like I said, stepping up to fight Habib on 6 days notice, he was coming off an injury. He looked heavy. He couldn't get down to 155. Imagine if this was a 145 pound cut. They had to get him down all the way to 155, and they could not do that. The NYC Athletic Commission actually had to step in and pull Max Holloway from the fight. But let me talk about if this fight would have happened, Max Holloway would have had a chance to become a fucking legend. He's already legendary for stepping up on 6 days notice to fight one of the biggest monsters in the UFC already. And then you want to talk about the things that he was able to do. He's basically trying to do everything that Conor McGregor didn't. He's already won the 145 belt after Conor vacated it. He's beat Jose Aldo not once, but twice. He's actually defended his belt, and now he wanted to move up to fight Habib, who everybody says Conor McGregor is ducking. Max Holloway is just here to do the damn thing, and it is what it is. And I thought it would have been a great performance to possibly go out there. And then imagine if he would have won. He could have called out Conor McGregor. The last man that Max Holloway lost to was Conor McGregor 12 fights ago. Max Holloway is on a 12-fight win streak from when he lost to Conor McGregor. I believe it was only Conor's, fourth fight in the UFC, if that. They were both young pups. They were both on the undercard. That is one fight I would love to see get thrown back. And imagine if Max Holloway would have somehow pulled off one of the greatest upsets, beat Habib, and then next thing you know, Max Holloway's the double champ. Conor McGregor coming back. We got a championship match for both the belts. I don't know how they'd do that. Just have him fight at 150. Who cares? Put up both the belts. That would have been one hell of a fucking fight. But no, Max Holloway and Conor McGregor is going to have to wait a little longer, because as I mentioned, Max Holloway gets pulled out of the fight Friday morning, weigh-in mornings, last minute, and they're looking for a replacement. But before we get to the replacement list, let's talk about Conor McGregor, Max Holloway, Habib Nurmagomedov, Tony Ferguson, whoever you want to talk about in this 155 division. It all has to do with this Conor McGregor chaos and what is going to happen now. In between the time of Max Holloway being announced the fight, they had a media day on Thursday. I guess the plan was for Conor McGregor to show up to that said media day, because just a few days prior, let me preface this for you, Habib Nurmagomedov and his team went and cornered Conor McGregor's best friend, Artem Lobov, who's another UFC fighter, if you didn't know. And he was fighting at the same card at UFC 223. He was on the Fight Pass fights, whatever. And this was where I thought, okay, obviously the UFC did this on purpose. They scheduled Artem because Conor always shows up to Artem's fights. He's there cage side. Hell, Conor shows up to Bellator fights and damn near gets tossed out of Bellator events. And Conor will show up to support his teammates. He's a real one. And we obviously saw how much he has his teammates back, because after Habib confronts Artem about calling him a bitch on a Russian media outlet, he goes, "Why you say this in front of all Russia?" And he comes, grabs him behind the head, kind of young mans him, says, come here, young man. Slaps in the back of the head a couple times, but nothing too escalated. Artem didn't get jumped. Nothing that crazy happened. We've seen it before with Jorge Masvidal, Michael Bisping confronting each other. Yoel Romero, Michael Bisping. We've seen this time and time before. Artem was talking shit about Khabib, and Khabib checked him. Khabib punked him. It was as simple as that. But word got back to big brother Conor McGregor back in Ireland. He gets on the private jet with about 30 of his hooligans, and they show up to NYC Media Day. The story was that they actually got there late. They actually wanted to crash it during Media Day. Imagine if Khabib was there with his full team taking interviews, and then Conor and his crew would have stormed. We would have had a massive brawl, but no, they got there a couple hours late. As the UFC fighters were actually leaving the arena, they were let into Barclays Center by Mac Life reporters. Mac Life is the whole YouTube channel that covers Conor McGregor, blah blah blah. They then get pointed down to the loading decks underneath Barclays Center, where they got the buses with an elevator that can go up. And next thing you know, it's just chaos, chaos, chaos. And if I tried to explain it all to you, I still don't think you get the full picture. So here you go. Here's some audio from inside the bus that Conor McGregor attacked.
What the fuck, you fucking pussies?
Dude, what the fuck? Hey, what the fuck?
Oh, shit.
What the fuck?
Who are these guys?
What the fuck is wrong with him?
Smash the windows!
That's why oh yeah, fucking
Jesus Christ!
Dude, what the fuck?
Hey, open the fucking door!
Let's get it
ready! Hey, you fucking...
Complete fucking chaos. Conor McGregor shows up, Brooklyn, New York, UFC 223 Media Day, and causes a fucking chaos. Man, he bring in the Green Street hooligans with him into Brooklyn and completely causes a scene. Man, I haven't seen nothing like this since the WWE days when they were turning over buses in the back. But man, oh man, let me start it off with saying this was not fake. This was not a hoax. The UFC did not have anything to do with it. So many people are asking so many questions like, oh, how did they get so many cameras there? Those cameras are too good. It's HD. Well, first of all, like I've said four times, it was UFC 223 Media Day. Media means there's going to be bunches and bunches of camera. That was actually one of Khabib's response. Like, why you do this? Why you show up with lots of camera? Why you make scene? Just send me location. I'll show you guys this Khabib's response more and more as we go through the show. But man, oh man, Conor comes in and just causes a scene. Some people are saying he was on some extra substance, a little bit of... But hey, I'm not throwing out accusations left and right, but that was a long plane ride for Conor McGregor and his hooligans to show up. They were let in to Barclays, like I said, by Mac Life reporters at the UFC 223, and they thought they were storming Khabib's bus. But the story was, this was actually the whole entire red corner bus. Yes, half the fighters from this event were on that bus. So I don't really get the revenge. We have to go after Khabib. You're putting other people's lives in danger. Let me preface this by saying, I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. I love Conor. I've watched him since back when he was in Europe fighting in Cage Warriors. I watched him when he made his debut versus Marcus Brugge. So many people just hopping on the Conor bandwagon all of a sudden. But Conor has changed. He has changed so much. And I loved it when he lost to Nate Diaz, because the Diaz brothers are two of my favorite fighters. But I thought it humbled him. And then we got back to the Money McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez, and now he's got so much goddamn money after the whole Floyd Mayweather fiasco. But Conor McGregor, what's happening to the double champ? I know he does whatever the fuck he wants and apologizes to absolutely nobody, but this was just dumb. I gotta be completely honest with you. Look at it from an objective point of view. this was stupid of Connor. I don't say it's stupid for having his boys back and showing up and be ready to roll and be down with the funk. I'm saying it's stupid to jeopardize other fighters. Conor McGregor single-handedly canceled 3 different fights off this card. You heard in that audio as he was going after Khabib, calling him a mud rat, trying to get him off the bus. You heard the glass break through the window, and then you heard Mike Chiesa say, am I cut? Is it bad? Well, yes, it was bad enough where the doctors and the New York Athletic Commission would not let Mike Chiesa fight, so his fight versus Anthony Showtime Bettis was removed. Ray Borg was going to fight Brandon Moreno. Ray Borg got glass in his eye. He actually got glass pieces in his retina. I know it showed on the UFC embedded. They only showed him for a couple seconds, and he looked fine, but hey, the doctor's note came out and said that he had glass in his eye, so hey, that's another fight that's taken off the card. And then Artem Lobov, the punk who started this all, the man who got punked by Khabib and had to call his big brother to come save the day. The funniest shit from this was watching the screen caps that people were grabbing from the video when they see Conor going crazy, like, someone just threw me Lucky Charms. And then you see Artem with the face, with the hand over his face, like, oh my God, what have I done? When you didn't think your boys were really down to ride, that's where Artem fucked up. He could have settled all this. He could have just said to Khabib, yeah, I was talking shit. Take your discipline like a man. But no. Artem, you got punked, and you're the cause of all this. But like I said, more than one fighter was affected by this. Michael Chiesa pulled. Ray Borg pulled. That means no fight for Showtime Pettis. That means no fight for Brandon Moreno. Thug Rose Namajunas was actually sitting right next to the window, and it was super close to her. She said on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour the other day that she was actually, the dolly was coming towards her, but the bus was backing up, so it moved and hit Michael Chiesa's window. Imagine that. The co-main event almost got scrapped from this. Thug Rose, though, she left right away with Pat Barry. They went back to their New York apartment or hotel, whatever, and they settled down, and they came back to fight. And what a performance by Rose. We'll get more into that later. But man, oh man, this whole bus situation, you can hear from inside the bus. You heard Khabib saying, let me off this fucking bus. That was Khabib's manager. He said he turned back and looked at Khabib. Khabib was sitting in the back smiling and laughing because he said, why they do this? Why they do this on media day? Why they create big show? And I guess Ali wanted off the bus. You could hear him say, we're going to kill this motherfucker 100%. We're going to kill this motherfucker. And there was actually a few people on the bus who wanted to get off. Ray Borg was pretty pissed. And I would actually say, if they would have let them off the bus, it probably would have been bad for Team McGregor. Because look, Conor is a great skill fighter. Obviously, he can hold his own. But then you have Khabib taking him down. That's one-on-one matchup. Artem gets scraped by everybody at 145, 155 on the whole entire roster. He's arguably doesn't even deserve to be on the UFC roster. He's got a losing record, and he's only on it because of Conor McGregor. Hell, he lost his get-in fight on The Ultimate Fighter, and Conor McGregor was a coach, so he bring him back in. That's how much pull Conor had. But back to the bus situation. They had Michael Chiesa, Raging Owl, a couple 155ers on that bus. They would have ran through Artem. And then you say, okay, well, Conor's got some big old hooligans. I don't know if they're training partners. I don't know if these guys fight at all, because Artem and Conor were the two only UFC fighters involved on their side, at least. But then you go and pick on a whole bus of UFC fighters, and then whoever's with the UFC fighters. I talked about Rose Namajunas being on that bus. Her husband, Pat Barry, had some of the lethalest leg kicks for a heavyweight of all time in the UFC division. Pat Barry gets off that bus and starts going crazy. Then you had Iri Latifi, who's one of the biggest, swollest bricks of muscle in all of the UFC. There was a lot of muscle on that bus. I think it would have been a great brawl. Hell, if you want to settle this, we can go out to Russia and we could do those team MMA events where they got the 10-on-10 MMA fights. I know you've seen those before. Those are absolutely crazy. Get Team Khabib versus SBG, because it's as simple as Khabib has been saying this whole entire time. Send me location. It's as simple as that. Send me location.
It is what it is. Hey, just send me message where. I'm gonna come, just send me a message. Of course they know a lot of security here, media, it's gonna be big, you understand, they come with 30 people. Come here, send me a message, like location, I'm gonna come, whatever you want, doesn't matter, Ireland, New York, Brooklyn or Moscow, doesn't matter. Tell me, where? Yesterday I give you slab, Artem, I give you slab, you eat this like a woman, like a baby. What happened now? Something changed? Or you with 30 people? Let me know, and that's it.
Hey, let him know. It's as simple as that. Send location. Artem, what happened? You got slapped like bitch. You got slapped like baby. What happened now? Conor McGregor happened. That's what happened next. And man, oh man, like I said, what a crazy fucking story this was. Conor McGregor ends up actually turning himself in after there were rumors that there was a rumor out for his arrest. They weren't going to let his plane leave. They weren't going to let him check in with his passport. There was rumors that Dana wanted him arrested, wanted him in jail, and Conor complied. He actually went to the 78th precinct out in Brooklyn, New York, turned himself in, was there overnight. I guess he was sparring, shadow boxing in the cell while he was waiting, gets out, pays bail, actually gets his bail paid by another one of his friends, Dylan Danis, who is a great jiu-jitsu player coming over to the MMA world. But that's a whole nother story, getting into Dylan Danis and the Conor McGregor crew. But Conor gets out, gets his boy out of jail. He's free to go back to Ireland. Artem's pulled from the card. Three fights now, like I mentioned, pulled from the card just from Conor McGregor alone. But as the day ended, turns himself in, gets out of jail, and he's gone just like me, Lucky Charms. He fucking took off to never be captured. Man, oh man, what a crazy time. And like I said, it's Khabib time. Khabib's been calling this guy out for over a year at least, since UFC 205. I don't get why this is such a big deal now. People are saying, well, if Khabib didn't go and confront Artem, then none of this would have happened. Well, if Artem wasn't talking shit, he wouldn't have got punked. It's as simple as that, but man, oh man, this is setting up the biggest fight in UFC history. I'm telling you, I've been calling for it for over a year. Khabib's been calling it for over a year. But let's go ahead and talk about the fight that actually won him a championship, and then we'll get into the call-outs after the fight. Because after all this crazy nonsense, after three fights were already pulled from the car, we finally wake up Friday morning for weigh-ins, and like I teased before we got into all that chaos, Max Holloway was deemed physically unable to fight by the New York City Athletic Commission for weight-cutting issues. They checked his vitals in the morning, came back. I heard he was about 159, and they said that his body just could not cut those last 4 pounds. He was looking dead. I said it all week. Max's face looked thick. He looked like he's been eating them Hawaiian rolls out there because he was on vacation, like I mentioned, coming off of that surgery. Max Holloway is officially out. I think this might have been a blessing in disguise, because as much as I love Max Holloway, one of my favorite fighters, this was not a great matchup for him. Khabib has just ran through strikers left and right. We saw what he did to Rafael Dos Anjos. We saw what he did to Michael Johnson. We saw what he did to Edson Barboza, his last fight, where he completely smothered him. So now we're down to Khabib time. Is it even going to happen? Who's going to fill in for Max Holloway? There's not too many savages out there like Max Blessed Holloway that will step up on 6 days' notice to take on one of the most feared men in all of the UFC. Well, we had to go down the list. There was a couple other 155ers on the bus, like I said, and Khabib wanted the belt. He said, it doesn't matter who I fight. I'm going to go take a nap. I'll wake up. You sign the bout agreement. As long as it's for the belt, I will fight. And next thing you know, the UFC was scrambling left and right. As I mentioned, Anthony Showtime Pettis, his fight was already being canceled because Michael Chiesa, with the cuts on his face from the glass, and Conor McGregor, he didn't have an appointment. So he wanted to go in, but he weighed in 155.9, I believe, which was overweight for championship weight. They went back. He had 2 more hours to wait in, and then the rumors came out that he wanted more money. Of course, I'd want money too. If you're fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov in that ring, I'd want to get paid out too. Apparently, he asked for over $1 million, and the UFC would not budge. So Anthony Pettis scratched off the list. On to the next one. Paul Felder, the Irish Dragon. Why not just set up Ireland versus Russia right now? Step in, Paul Felder, short notice. He was on championship weight. Came in at 155. He wanted the fight. He does a lot of work for UFC on Fox, a big company guy. I thought he would have stepped up on short notice easily. But once again, the New York City Athletic Commission comes in and says, nope, he's unranked. We cannot fight him. So that means Paul Felder is now without a fight, because the man, the myth, the legend, Raging Al Iaquinta, the hometown kid, the man who has never fought on a New York card, even though they've been going on now for a couple years. Raging Al steps up on 6 hours' notice, if you even want to call it that, 12 hours, 1 day, whatever the hell you want to call it. It is increasingly impressive what Al Iaquinta did this weekend. But wait, he was 0.2 over championship weight. He actually weighed in with his boxers. He did not get the extra 2 hours because what? He was the fifth option for this fight week. So he comes back with his underwear in hand. The commission actually weighs his underwear. Apparently, New York doesn't want to recognize it as a championship fight, but the UFC says we are recognizing this as a championship fight. Al Iaquinta's underwear weighs 0.2 of a pound. I don't give a fuck. Al Iaquinta says, I am the guy. I'm the fucking guy to do this. I'm the hometown guy. This is my crowd. And it's time to get onto UFC 223. Fucking finally. We finally get to fight night. Al Iaquinta is a savage for stepping up on one day notice. And man, oh man, to be completely honest with you, I actually thought this was the best stylistic matchup for an opponent of Khabib Nurmagomedov, because they talked about all week long when Max Holloway stepped up. They said, Max, how are you going to prepare for Khabib on 6 days notice? And his response was, how is Khabib going to prepare for me? I'm Max Holloway. There's no one out there like me. I'm one of the greatest strikers in the UFC. And Khabib said, yes, he's absolutely correct. I got to go. I got to change my strategy. And now he had to change his strategy again for the fifth time. This man is 25-0, going for his first belt. He's been dealing with injuries throughout the years. He should have been a champion since he beat Rafael Dos Anjos, in my opinion, if you're asking me. This man should have been a champion forever. But no, he has to wait till he gets his fifth opponent on championship week, Al Iaquinta. And this was honestly, out of all three, four, not including Tony, because Tony is just all around crazy with his conditioning. I thought that could have been a great matchup with him versus Khabib. But out of the three replacement options of Anthony Showtime Pettis, Paul the Irish Dragon Felder, and Raging Al Iaquinta, I wanted Raging Al, because Raging Al comes to fight. He's got knockout power. He's got a wrestling background. He got sick jiu-jitsu, trains with Matt Serra and Ray Longo. He's pulled off crazy hill hooks in the past before. Watch his fight against Kevin Lee. When Kevin Lee tries to take him down, he pulled off some crazy hill hooks. I thought maybe we'd see some of those, some of the unorthodox things that Al was able to bring into the cage. And this was a war. A lot of people were disappointed because they said Khabib didn't dominate. He didn't finish. He didn't knock him out. And now a lot of people are saying that Conor actually has a chance versus Khabib. Well, Khabib went in and won all five rounds. He won 50-43 on some judges' scorecards. He had 2-3, 10-8 rounds, and that wasn't dominant enough for Khabib. This man outstruck Al Iaquinta by damn near over 100 more significant strikes. And Khabib's not even a significant striker. He's not a stand-up fighter. He was actually getting yelled at by his coach after the fight and his father for standing up during rounds 3 and 4. People say he was getting exposed. Even Joe Rogan had some pretty harsh commentary saying he had his chin up in the air, was looking amateurish. But Ali was on the MMA Hour with Errol Hawan the other day, and he explained, Khabib simply thought he was better than Raging Al, so he ditched the game plan after the second round and wanted to showcase some of his stand-up. And they actually said the other corner admitted that Raging Al was letting Khabib pick him apart with his jab to try to influence him to get into a brawl. That's one hell of a strategy, and Khabib looked great with that jab. He was trying to work his Muhammad Ali jab all week. If you watch the Anatomy of a Fighter shows, if you watch UFC Embedded, they showed Khabib watching a bunch of Muhammad Ali videos. So he was really working his jab, and I thought he looked pretty good standing up. I mean, he was throwing fucking spinning back kicks. He threw a front kick to the face. Khabib was mixing it up. They're saying these are techniques that he doesn't even show in practice. But like I said, you got to stick to your bread and butter if you're Khabib, and that is wrestling. He's the most dominant wrestler since George St. Pierre, and I will hold that to a fact. Khabib Airlines take people for a ride. He ragdolled Al Iaquinta in the first two rounds. Hell, he had him in a mounted body triangle, flattened down on the ground, and was pounding on the back of his head. Al Iaquinta is a fucking warrior. Most people would have just gave up there, collected their paycheck, and said, hey, I went one round with Khabib. But Khabib almost finished that fight in the first round, and people are saying this wasn't a dominant fight by Khabib. I don't get it. Raging Al is no fucking joke. There were people before this fight saying, who the fuck is this guy? Some even asked him at the press conference, who the fuck are you? And Raging Al goes, who the fuck am I? Who the fuck are you? You know who I am? That's Raging Al, the legendary post-fight. He's a huge fan favorite. Raging Al came to fight, came to brawl, and nothing but respect to him. He lasted 25 minutes on one day notice with one of the greatest fighters of all time, potentially. Potentially the greatest 155er. This man is now 26-0, completely dominant and Al-Ai Quinta went the distance. I got to say, hats off to that one. Show what you can do. And Khabib said after the fight, yeah, I stood with him extra than I could have. I probably could have took him down, but Khabib showcased his skills. And I actually think this is now more of a incentive to now people think that Conor has a chance because Khabib got hit a couple times. And Joe Rogan getting a lot of criticism saying that Khabib had his chin up in the air, hands down. But that was a correct criticism. There were times in a fight where it looked like Khabib was getting kind of lazy, but Khabib said that he felt quicker than him. He felt he could pop the jab. He felt he could stand with them. You don't want to stand with Raging Al. Too many people don't usually say that because of his knockout power. But like I said, people didn't even know who Raging Al was. He's beat Kevin Lee. He's beat some of the top guys. He's beat Jorge Masvidal. He's beat a lot of tough guys. Diego Sanchez. People say he's never heard of before. I thought it was complete bullshit. So hats off to Raging Al, the realtor. He was still selling houses on Saturday, pretending like he won the fight. I don't care. I thought it was a great fight, and I thought it was great to finally see that strap finally strapped around the waist of Khabib Nurmagomedov because, man, oh, man, he deserves it. If there's any fighter in the UFC that deserves that belt, it's Khabib. After all the injuries he's went through with knees, injuries to his ribs, his back, he's been through it all. The man is now 29 years old. I've been calling for a title fight, like I said, since he beat Rafael Dos Anjos. That was at least 2 years ago. At least probably 3 years ago now because it's looking like a year and a half, 2 years since he called out Conor McGregor. Everybody was so surprised saying, who is this Khabib guy? Who is this Khabib? No one even knows who this guy is and he's talking about he's the next big star. Well, I'll tell you who Khabib is. Khabib is the man that Conor McGregor has been ducking since UFC 205. He's been calling him out. It's a terrible matchup for Conor McGregor. Like I said, I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan, but it is a bad, bad matchup. He got taken down a couple times by Chad Mendes. Obviously, stood back up and knocked out Chad Mendes. I'm saying Khabib might be able to get hit, but Khabib wants that fight versus Conor McGregor. And surprisingly, he actually wants a fight versus George St. Pierre. I actually shouldn't say surprisingly because that was big news this week in the MMA community that he came out and said he wants GSP. Well, if you were a big fan of Khabib back at UFC 205, he said when he met GSP at Madison Square Garden, this is the fight my dad always wanted. This is the fight that he's always wanted. He's talked about this fight for years, not Conor McGregor. GSP is the one that he has wanted for years because for the legacy, GSP is the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. Yeah, Conor can win him a lot more money, but George St. Pierre can change people's legacies. That would be one hell of a fight, and here's exactly what Khabib had to say to GSP after winning the championship this past Saturday.
We're all family. Around me is very good, humble people, and everybody push me, teach me, you know. Even now, I still teach, learning, you know. 100 year living, 100 year you have to learn, you know. Like George St. Pierre say one time, even you black belt, you have to stay in your mind white belt. But now, I want to fight with George St. Pierre in New York, Madison Square Garden. Hey, Madison Square Garden, November. And you know, I want to say thank you for my opponent and his team, Yaquinta. Yaquinta is a real Brooklyn gangster. This is not about chicken. Yaquinta is a real gangster. He come here, where's Conor? He want to fight with Bass. I want to fight with real gangster, you know. Yaquinta, thank you so much. You know, it's crazy. No, 26-0, 10-0 in UFC. UFC undisputed, undefeated lightweight champion. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
26-0, 10-0 in the UFC, undisputed, undefeated UFC 155-pound champion. Khabib also went on to say, there's no more fake belts. The real belt. Conor wants it. He has to come to me to get it. And man, oh man, what a fight that would be. But you heard in his post-fight conference, he actually wants George St. Pierre. Yes, not too many people call out GSP. Well, it seems like a lot of people are calling out GSP these days because he is one of the biggest money fights right next to Conor McGregor. But Khabib is calling him out for legacy-wise. He knows George St. Pierre is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. There's no debate about it. GSP is number one, two-division champion, avenged all of his losses, the level of competition that he faced. The man won 30 straight rounds in the UFC without losing. George St. Pierre was absolutely dominant. And now we're talking about GSP 2.0, Khabib Nurmagomedov. He has now won 32 straight rounds, beating George St. Pierre's 30-round record of not losing a round. Khabib has been absolutely dominant. He also joins Anderson Silva as one of the few only other UFC champions to start their title run 10-0. The man is still undefeated. He's still dominant, has never lost. The rumors are he's never tapped in his life. In training, anything. He's never tapped. He's never submitted. He's never lost. I loved him from the beginning when he showed up with his t-shirt. If Sambo was easy, they would call it jiu-jitsu. The man doesn't get submitted. He can take anybody down, and he can control the fight. That's why I think he's one of the greatest 155ers of all time, and he just won the belt. We are just getting started. It is Khabib time. Like I said, he wants GSP. That's not a fight that I want to see right away because Khabib is a fucking monster. We know George is dealing with health issues right now, had the ulcer colitis, the stomach issues, where he could had trouble gaining weight to 185. There's been rumors forever that he's going to try to get down to 155 to fight Conor McGregor, but the latest rumors were this weekend of Conor McGregor coming to the press conference, all that was supposed to announce that he could be possibly fighting Rafael Dos Anjos for the 170 interim belt because Tyron Woodley is still out until at least August. Imagine if Conor McGregor got the 170 belt somehow, and then you get a GSP Conor McGregor super fight. Now that would be one hell of a fight, but if we're talking about active fighters right now, active healthy fighters, I think GSP should just bask in his greatness, enjoy the retirement life. He's got nothing left to prove, and I don't want to see him in a matchup versus Khabib. In a matchup versus Conor, that's where I changed my mind a little bit, because like I said, Khabib is GSP 2.0. George probably has some better stand-up with the Superman punch and everything, but this wrestling from Khabib is no fucking joke. And we saw Conor struggle with wrestlers before. He got taken out by Chad Mendes. Hell, he was even taken down by Nate Diaz, if you want to call that a takedown, or Conor going down because he was getting rocked, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, I think George St. Pierre and Khabib would both ragdoll Conor McGregor. And I've said this, I don't want to get all the Conor fans mad at me. I'm a huge Conor fan. He's one of my favorite fighters. And it just seems that all the time, my favorite fighters fight each other. I love George St. Pierre. I love the Diaz brothers. We saw what happened there. I love Conor McGregor. I love the Diaz brothers. We saw what happened there. I love Khabib. I love Conor McGregor. And now it seems like they are finally going to fight. But like I mentioned, it's a bad matchup for Conor McGregor. But we've seen Khabib, like Joe Rogan said, look a little amateurish in his stand-up game. He's been tagged by Michael Johnson. Never rocked, never dropped. He got hit. And even Ally Quinta had a couple punches that got close enough. Conor McGregor's got that one-shot power where we've all seen it with Jose Aldo. We've seen it with a bunch of fighters that Conor can drop anybody. But I honestly think this is a bad matchup for Conor McGregor going against Khabib. Khabib's the most dominant wrestler since George St. Pierre, like I mentioned. And I just think it would be a long, long night. But man, oh man, I can't fucking wait. We're going to have Russia versus Ireland. Wait, Khabib has said it before.
Irish, only 6 million. Russian, 150 million. I want to fight for your chicken because this is number one easy fight in lightweight division.
It's going to be a fucking war. Imagine if they did this in Russia. I don't know if they can do that now because as soon as Conor McGregor left Barclays Palace, it was surrounded in Brooklyn by Russians. I mean, we're starting a civil war here between Khabib and Conor McGregor. Man, oh man, Khabib wants him in September in Madison Square Garden. I just hope Conor can stay out of legal issues, whatever. You're in a profession where if you got a problem with somebody, you can literally step in the ring and beat the shit out of them until they're unconscious. Conor McGregor, it's time to step up. It's time to come back. Leave all the boxing and Burger King commercials in the past. We want Conor back. We want Conor versus Khabib for the 155 title. Hell, I still want Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, but I don't think Danny's going to make that again. There's so many opportunities to come from this now. Will Max Holloway ever get a rematch? We don't know. He goes back down to 145 to take on Ortega. Man, oh man, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the UFC right now. We had the 25th anniversary press conference on Friday announcing a bunch of fights, but before we announce the rest of the fights, let's talk about the rest of this card, because we've taken now damn near 40 minutes talking about Conor McGregor chaos, talking about Khabib. Let's go ahead and run through the rest of the fights, starting off with the co-main event, the rematch of Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Thug Rose Namajunas.
Two best strawweights in the world.
It's a dance for the wild.
I knew that I was gonna knock her out.
That's all I was focused on.
Rose was lucky in our first fight. I think she's a fluke.
Not this time.
You're seeing the entire arsenal of Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
This belt belongs to me.
Just constant punishment by Jędrzejczyk.
Joanna can believe whatever she wants. I really want to choke her. Nobody's going to question anything.
Thug Rose, Thug Rose, Thug Rose, Thug Rose does it again, proves that it wasn't a fluke, does it a second time to prove it wasn't luck. Joanna Jędrzejczyk gets defeated by Thug Rose Namajunas once again for the strawweight belt. And man, oh man, what a fight it was. It went the full five rounds this time. Of course, if you remember back to UFC 217, it ended in the very first round with a knockout upset. Thug Rose dropped Joanna, and Joanna has been struggling to recover ever since. She blamed it on just about everything from the weight cut to being compared to Ronda Rousey somehow. Blah, blah, blah. Joanna, I was a huge fan of yours. I thought you were one of the best female stand-up strikers in the game. But apparently you have met your match, and your match just might be a stylistic matchup, because we've seen Joanna when she went 8-0. She ran through everybody in the division. We saw her just straight dominate Carla Esparza to get the belt, and Carla Esparza beat Thug Rose in the Tough Ultimate Fighter finale to win the belt the first time. So in my back of my mind, I'm always like, okay, is Rose for real? She lost to someone that Joanna ran through like a hot knife through butter. But we all know MMA math does not add up, and I was so excited to see this fight get ran back for version 2, because like Joanna said, she thought it was a fluke. She thought it was just luck. Well, Thug Rose came out and proved that it was not luck by, I would say, closely dominating. I thought it was a close fight. Some of the judges actually gave the decision to Thug Rose 4-1. I had it 3-2 with an even fight going into that fifth round. I thought Thug Rose started the fight off great, controlling distance, her footwork on point. Shout out to Trevor Whitman, one of the best striking coaches in the game. Rose just continues to get better and better and better. I would have thought that she would go for the takedown as soon as possible, switch up her game plan, because she obviously has the advantage over Joanna on the ground. But no, she stayed standing for four rounds. In my opinion, won two of them. She won the first two rounds pretty solid. The third and fourth round, I thought Joanna started to get some of the momentum back. She was throwing this beautiful front leg kick that was affecting Rose. You could see she started to bruise up. You could start seeing literally roses of a bruise on her thigh, and she just kept chopping down that leg, chopping down that leg. She had some momentum. She was talking shit through the third and fourth round, and then we get to the fifth round, the championship round, tied 2-2 on my book at least, and Thug Rose comes back, rallies back, gets a huge takedown at the end of the fight, and just steals the victory. I thought she did a great job, like I said, controlling the distance. She was getting in and out. Joanna was just too short, not long enough. Thug Rose had the length advantage. She was keeping her at a distance, coming in, throwing a 1-2, doing a great job countering whenever Joanna would come in. Thug Rose's movement was absolutely on point. Like I mentioned, she slowed down a little bit during the third and fourth round, but those were still close rounds. The judges gave her 4-1 on two of the cards, I believe. This was a great fight. I wouldn't mind seeing it ran back for a third time, even though now, how do you have a third fight when it's 2-0? Well, hey, you can say the same thing about Daniel Cormier, John Jones. I know it's a little bit different situation with the steroids and everything, but I'd want to see this fight again, because who else is there out there? I know Jessica Andrade is probably next in line for Thug Rose. Jessica Andrade is already the betting favorite over Thug, because Andrade has great wrestling. She is just a little fucking tank. That would be a great matchup for Thug Rose, but I think she's going to take some time off, Maybe let Jessica Andrade, maybe fight Joanna. I honestly don't know what the hell Joanna does. If I was to give my bet, if I had to put money on it, I'd say Joanna probably just retires. I mean, that's the one criticism I have for her, is that she's too much like Ronda Rousey. We see Ronda, she doesn't want to talk about MMA anymore, and I promise you, I'm not going to get into that damn WWE WrestleMania shit with Ronda Rousey. The only reason I'm bringing up Ronda Rousey on this podcast is to compare to Joanna Jędrzejczyk and her title run and her dominance and her attitude, which I just think mentally she's getting screwed over by herself. She thinks she's the strawweight champion. She came out after the fight and said that she thought that she won. I thought it was a close fight, but that fifth round definitely went to Thug Rose. It's going to be interesting to see how they both bounce back. I'm sure Thug takes some time off, but I want to see Joanna still run through these girls in that division and earn her way back to a third title fight. Obviously, you can't give her an immediate rematch, but if she earns it, you got to give it to her. It's like Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I don't understand why he's fighting Darren Till while Rafael Dos Anjos and Colby Covington are fighting for the interim belt. I'd rather see Tyron Woodley fight the winner of Stephen Thompson and Darren Till than the winner of Rafael Dos Anjos versus Colby Covington. Colby Covington at this 25th anniversary press fight conference, whatever the hell it was just absolutely cringeworthy. Rafael Dos Anjos, we understand that he's looked a lot better at 170. But we saw what happened to him when he faced Khabib 2 years ago at 155. We saw what happened to him towards the tail end of his career. Obviously, he looks a lot better not cutting weight now. But I am truly more excited to see Darren Till versus Stephen Wonderboy than I am to see Rafael Dos Anjos versus Colby Covington. I'll be completely honest with you. I'd rather that be the interim belt. I want to see Wonderboy get a third shot. He had a draw the first fight. It could have technically been a draw the second fight. I know no one listening to this podcast wants to see that fight for a third time because they thought it was so boring. But hell, I love watching Wonderboy fight. I think there's going to be a tough test for Darren Till. Darren Till is a fucking monster. He's a light heavyweight fighting in a welterweight's body. He's a fucking animal. Tore up Donald Cerrone, but there's levels to this shit, and there's definitely levels to Stephen Wonderboy striking, one of the best strikers in all of MMA, his karate style. I think that's one hell of a great fight, but if I'm talking about great fights in the future, why not just talk about all the fights that were announced this past weekend at the UFC 25th anniversary press conference? It was huge, all the fights that they named off. First off, we got next weekend alone. We got Gaethje versus Dustin Poirier. That's going to be a fucking barn burner. That's for free on UFC Fight Night. We also got the style bender on that card coming up the weekend after that. We got Kevin Lee versus Edson Barboza in New Jersey, Atlantic City. Frankie Edgar is coming back on short notice. What the hell is he doing? But he's going to probably dominate Cub Swanson again, so you can't call out Frankie Edgar for that, even though he just got knocked out less than a month ago. Moving on to Brazil, 224. We got Amanda Nunes versus Rocky Pennington. That's coming back. Finally, Amanda is going to fight again. I'm pretty sure Lyoto versus Vitor Belfort also on that card. A couple big Brazilian names. I also think Jacare is actually on that card also. They announced Ponzinibbio versus Carl Usman fighting down in Chile. Usman versus Colby Covington is a fight that has to happen. Colby is so cringeworthy, and Usman is 30% cringeworthy, so I just want to see them fight. I just want to see him fight. All this shit, they've been talking to each other. They're 20 miles apart, bro. 20 miles apart. And that was the funniest shit because they're all 170 pounds, all talking shit on stage, and no one said a word to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, the actual number one ranked fighter in the welterweight division. Well, the number one ranked contender, obviously, Tyron Woodley's still out, but no one even called him out. How are you not going to call out the guy that's above everybody else? But no, Colby Covington, Usman, that's a shit show. We got to see that. And then we go to the UFC 225 in Chicago. I can't wait for the return of the Soldier of God, Yoel Romero versus Robert Whittaker. That's going to be one hell of a fight. They're running that back. I think Yoel fights a lot smarter this time. That's going to be a big card too. Colby Covington, Rafael Dos Anjos got moved to that. CM Punk, I don't care if he's fighting or not, but he's on that card also. We got Cowboy Cerrone coming back, taking on Leon Edwards. Then we got the Ultimate Fighter finale, July 7th. Fight weekend, International Fight Week, DC versus Stipe Miocic. Yes, Daniel Cormier moving back up to heavyweight. Man, oh man, if he gets the heavyweight strap back, look out for DC making some waves and making some money, because the rumors are that the winner of this fight is going to get Brock Lesnar at the end of this year. Man, oh man, that's a super fight that John Jones was calling when he beat DC. It looks like DC or Stipe are going to get that now. We'll talk about that as we get closer to that. And then to end it all up, coming back to California, we got TJ Dillashaw Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt, the rematch. I think that's going to be one hell of a fight. We got all these rematches from UFC 217. Where the hell is GSP versus Michael Bisping? We're going to run that back? No, I got a better idea for you, because the biggest news is that Nick Diaz suspension is finally up. They said once 419 comes around, he's free to fight. I don't know if that's a trap, because on 420, they might come and drug test him. You know he's going to be lit as shit. But Nick Diaz is officially back. I would love to see Nick Diaz versus Michael Bisping. I think that would be one hell of a great fight for the banter and the entertainment. It's both guys towards the end of their career. I think that would be one hell of a fight. But man, oh man, I just want to see some fights. That's it. I love MMA. I love seeing people fight. I'd love to see GSP back. I'd love to see Diaz is back. Hell, we got Bellator coming back next week into San Jose. We got John Fitch back in the building. There is fights all over the place. It's a great time to be a fight fan. It's a great time to be a Khabib fan. It's a great time to be an AKA fan. Like I said, American Kickboxing Academy out of San Jose, California. The Four Horsemen have now all won belts. Khabib Nurmagomedov, Daniel Cormier, Cain Velasquez, and Luke Rockhold. What a gym, one of the best in the country. The champions prove it for themselves. And man, oh man, what a crazy fucking week this was at UFC 223. And I didn't even talk about the fight of the night. Sorry, I got so distracted by going against Rose and Joanna, and that led into Wonderboy and Till and RDA and Colby Covington. Man, oh man, the fight of the night. If you want to talk about the dominance of Khabib, if you want to talk about the back and forth of Joanna and Thug Rose, we got to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, the Russian Abe Lincoln that is coming on hot in the 145 division. That is Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Yes, another Russian out of Dagestan. He trained from the same gym that Khabib came up in Dagestan. This man looks like Abe Lincoln, kicks like Bruce Lee. He is a fucking phenom. I'm telling you, the man doesn't speak a word of English, but if he does, starts promoting himself, he's going to be in that top 10, top 15 quick. Him versus Kyle Bochynek. I don't even know how to say his last name, but that was a fucking war. Kyle Bochynek. That was supposed to be on UFC Fight Pass. It got moved up into pay-per-view. That was a fucking war. And I've also want to give a shout-out from this UFC 223 card to Oliver Aubin Mercier, the Canadian gangster getting a W in the UFC Octagon. He's a training partner of GSP. I look for big things from him coming from the future. And man, oh man, I look for a lot of things coming in the future from GSP, Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Tony Ferguson. Whoever wants to fight in this 155 division can get it. And man, oh man, I can't wait. Give me Khabib versus Conor in Russia.
You know what Conor told me? He says, I want Khabib in Russia. Is he fucking awesome?
The Goof was going crazy this weekend. We're on GoofCon levels 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever you want to call it. Shout out to MMA Reddit for keeping me updated with all the news. Shout out to Anatomy of a Fighter. That's one great of a YouTube channel. Shout out to Ariel Hawani, the MMA Hour. This man puts in work following the sport of MMA. And that's the big reason why I did this full 1-hour MMA podcast, because I'd go on ESPN, because I know that the only time that ESPN and the talking heads on TV talk about UFC is if it's Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey. So, hey, I knew Conor caused some chaos this weekend. I wanted to see the response, and it's just so disappointing. It's so pathetic, the coverage that MMA gets on these big media outlets. Like, these people have no idea what the hell they're talking about. Skip Bayless is the fucking worst. I cringe every time I hear him talk about MMA. It's terrible. These people literally only talk about Conor and Ronda because they're popular. They're just straight rating whores. They don't even know what the hell the sport is. A lot of them still call it cage fighting, and it's so dangerous and bloody, blah, blah, blah. Shut your fucking mouth. This was not stage. This was not an event. This was not WWE. This is as real as it gets. This is UFC, baby. This is Khabib time. This is Conor McGregor time. This is Tony time. This is the time for the Bay's Golden Days to get full-fledged covering MMA. Like I said, we've covered GSP's return to 217. We covered the Diaz versus McGregor fights. We've been covering UFC for the past 2 years, just here and there, throwing them in package podcasts. But now you're going to start getting full up-to-date, month-by-month UFC podcast. Hell, MMA podcast. We watch Bellator. We watch K1. We watch Cage Warriors. We watch Elite XC. We watch One Organization. We watch it all. We watch Rising and the Cup of Noodles, man. We watch all MMA out here. People think the sport's called UFC. No, it's MMA, Mixed Martial Arts. I am Mixed Marcus Arts. Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Mixed Marcus Arts. That's the new Twitter handle. You can always follow Baze Golden Days on Twitter at Baze Golden Days and whatever you use for social media on Instagram, MySpace, Friendster, AOL Messenger. It's at Baze Golden Days. You can check out the website at bgdsports.com for the instant release of the newest and update podcast. Thank you again for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. It's also on the Apple Podcast app. We're going to start getting you some articles. We're going to start posting some clips on YouTube. We're coming to you full-fledged in 2018, baby. You know what it is. It's the Baze Golden Days, and we got another championship right here in the Bay Area. I don't care that Khabib was born in Dagestan, Russia. He trains in San Jose. He reps AKA, and he reps the Bay, baby. You know what it is. It's another championship for the Baze Golden Days. Khabib Nurmagomedov. It's Khabib time, baby. Stay golden.
Sold it. Sold it.
Stay gold, pony boy.